wife, depending on the version you're reading, an excellent wife is her husband's crown. So I ask you, husbands, how's your crown this morning? How you going? Do you have one? I hope. I've been blessed across my life with four beautiful mothers. First one, her name was Rose. That was my birth mother. Did a lot of stuff. She was a military wife because my dad made a career out of the Air Force. I didn't even meet my dad till I was almost 3 years old because he was overseas for Korea and the Korean conflict. So that means my mother had to hold all things together and teach and all that stuff. She used pictures and stuff like that with me so that when my dad finally showed up almost 3 years later, I knew who this guy was, you know? But then my 24th birthday present, if you will, was burying my mother because she got cancer and passed. So my children never had a chance to meet her. But then I was blessed with another great mother, Margaret. That was Florence's mom. Read through Proverbs chapter 14, chapter 2, not Proverbs, excuse me. Another P verse, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and arguing. Anybody here that wrestles with that? I do. Boy, I wrestle with that. And I guess especially some in my work, you know, when part of your work is going out trying to help people improve, a lot of people don't like you to come up and say, why in the world are you doing what you're doing? You know? Or is there a better way to do that? And all that, you know, man, I'm the professional mechanic here. Who do you think you are coming to talk to me like that? You know? You got to be cautious how you take it. But, man, Florence's mom, Margaret, never heard her say a nasty word about anybody or any situation. If she couldn't say something positive, she just kept her mouth shut. What a lesson, what a learning. But then God chose to take her away from cancer too. So neither one of our children ever got to meet their real grandmas. But then I was blessed with another mom and my stepmother called Lottie. Just jumped right in, took over, accepted us. My dad hadn't really been much on God all my life. All the things I got about God and trying to walk God's ways came via my mother. But after my mother's death, my dad actually talked to me a lot. After we put my mother in the ground. And he started thinking more about God. And I think that's why God sent Lottie. She had been our next door neighbor several years before. And a different side. We had actually moved across the town across those years. But she contacted him. And in God's great timing, her husband had died the year before my mother passed away. So she was now single too. God worked his miracle out to where they got married. And she took over, she became grandma. Took our sons under the wing and did a good job. So, and that fourth one is the woman I married. So I ask you about your crown. How does your crown look? I was blessed with a very beautiful crown. And that's where I'd like to say, on this Mother's Day, to think about those and how you go. Where our sons are today, I'd say it's probably a lot of product more of Florence's influence than mine, because we homeschooled our children. So that means she was with them 24 hours a day till they became freshmen in high school. Doing homeschool, doing other stuff, all that things with them. What is the influence that a woman can have, not only on her husband, but on her family? And God provides us insight into that in his scriptures. He says back in Genesis chapter 2, when he first created Eve, you know. Adam needed a helper. He went through all these animals and all the things around, didn't find anybody suitable for him. So God took a rib, made that woman, and says, here's a helpmeet for you, a helpmate, somebody to be with you all the time. He knew that man needed somebody to help. The book of Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom. And in various parts of Proverbs through it, you see wisdom spoken of as a woman. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, talks about, and depending on the version you have, read the New American Standard, starts with an excellent wife, who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. Anybody have anything that says any different? Probably a lot of differences in different versions that you may have, and how it reads. Some have noble character, okay? Some may say virtuous. Okay? There's a woman of excellence in some versions. Okay? There's all kinds of approaches. So I went back and looked at the Septuagint to see what does Septuagint say. Septuagint is a Greek version of the Old Testament. It starts out by saying, who shall find a virtuous woman? For such a one is more valuable than precious stones. And interesting, I found in the context there is it uses gunikai, the word for woman, wife, and then the next adverb right after that to describe her is in the male tense, the masculine tense. So I've got a girl, a woman, described with a masculine adverb. That's unusual, but that's the way it is in the Greek tense. And going. Well, the noble character from the reading this morning in Ruth chapter 3, that same terminology is used there for Ruth. So I went to Ruth. And in the Septuagint there, it uses a different word. It uses a strict word, just gune for a woman, and then it uses dunamis. Does that sound familiar? Anybody heard of dynamite? We transliterate that Greek word over to dynamite in the English. It means power, strength. Well, man, that's not the same sense I get from reading 31:10 in my English Bible some. Strength. Well, okay, I looked up a couple, and everywhere where I found, it was more of an idea of strength. And even the adverb used in Proverbs 31:10 in the Septuagint version I read to you there, it is men of strength is what the adverb, men who have strength. You ever go back and look at Ruth and Deborah, some of the other ladies of the Old Testament? Sometimes in our culture, a strong woman, if you will, physically or emotionally, is not shined upon, right? It's almost like, man, that's out of character. That's not, you know, appropriate. But that's not what the Bible's telling us. So I didn't stop there. I went back to what's the Hebrew says. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And the term for the used here in Proverbs is just Yesh Kayil. And Kayil is a term used over 240 times in the Old Testament. And its primary use is in a military conflict, military context. And its main meaning is power and strength, just like the word used, the dunamis word used in Ruth 3 to describe Ruth, a woman of strength and power. The commentators that went back going over and looking and said, that's really the context. Somebody have a version that says woman of valor for Proverbs chapter 31? Has anybody seen that one? Some versions are few that have it in there, but that appears to be, after my reading and studying this week, that's one of the better translations of the Hebrew phrase and the Greek intent. It's a woman of valor, and it's a military term about strength. My understanding, really going, is this passage here of Proverbs 31 is sort of like a personification of the wisdom. All the way through Proverbs, God's talking about wisdom and how valuable that is to us. And now he comes back to give us a personification of that wisdom in a woman. But then it is a woman, if you put sandals on this wisdom and you put her into a home, here's what it looks like. And that's what Proverbs 31, I think, is trying to tell us. Here's what it is. Is that valuable to us guys? Yeah, it is. Because these attributes, what we're talking about is character. A woman of character. And that's what the wisdom, the Proverbs, is trying to get us to think about all the way through Proverbs, is our character, right? What kind of person are we? How is it that we really live out this way of following Jehovah and try to be people of faith in Him? That's where we need to ask ourselves where we're at. There's another. If you look at Luke chapter 10, it's a famous story and all that. Mary and Martha, right? Martha is all upset. Man, this man called Jesus has come to her house. Seems to be a pretty important character in Palestine at that time. And she's all upset about, how do I entertain? How am I going to take care of this guy? And yet she's got this sister, Mary, who sits at the guy's feet, not doing anything to get the meal ready. Man, isn't the place of the woman to help get the meal ready? Man, she ought to be helping get this stuff up so we can serve properly, right? But in verse 42, Jesus says, but only a few things are necessary, really only one, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen to sit at the feet of the Master and to hear. And that's part of the picture of this woman of strength that we see in Proverbs 31. She has chosen that her lifestyle will be to hear the Master. My life will be to follow the Master. And if I have to drop aside all these other pictures of what a woman ought to be, to sit at the feet of the Master, I'll drop them aside, because I want to hear what the Master has to say. I want to be His woman. Any guy here that does not want a wife like that? I hope no hands come up. I've been blessed with a woman like that. I hope you have. Although others of you men who are married. I want to be a tool in God's toolbox to help her grow deeper. Because that challenges me also to be a man who will sit at the feet of the Master and learn what the Master says so I can follow the Master's way. Because God still holds me responsible for my household, right? I'm responsible for where my household goes. And if my household's going to go the way it ought to go, and I've got a woman following God's way, then I ought to be a leader appropriate for her by being a follower of the Master as well and helping her in that fellowship. I think as we read through, we'll find some other things of service. Romans chapter 12. Encourage us in this way, reading from the New American Standard. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. That's really sort of what we're doing with today, right? If you go over to Romans chapter 13, you hear a verse that we've probably heard before. It says, give honor to whom honor is due. Anybody here ever read Exodus 20? There's 10 commands given in there, right? One of those is honor your father and your mother. So Mother's Day, as we celebrate it now, didn't exist or didn't start, if you will, directly from a Bible reference. But it is a Bible concept to honor your father, your mother. But you hear those words in Romans chapter 12. Let's read. I'm going to read from the Septuagint. We'll read all the way through and see if you don't see some of those concepts. Who shall find a virtuous woman? For such a one is more valuable than precious stones. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Such a one shall stand in no need of fine spoils, for she employs all her living for her husband's good. Gathering wool and flax, she makes it serviceable with her hands. She is like a ship trading from a distance, so she prepares her livelihood. She rises by night and gives food to her household and appointed tasks to her maidens. She views a farm and buys it, and with the fruit of her hand she plants a possession. She strongly girds her loins and strengthens her arms for work, and she finds by experience that working is good, and her candle goes not out all night. She reaches forth her arms to needful works and applies her hands to the spindle, and she opens her hands to the needy and reaches out fruit to the poor. Her husband is not anxious about those at home when he tarries anywhere abroad, for all her household are clothed. She makes for her husband clothes of double texture and garments for herself of fine linen and scarlet. And her husband becomes a distinguished person in the gates when he sits in the council with the old inhabitants of the land. She makes fine linens and sells girdles to the Canaanites. She opens her mouth heedfully and with propriety and controls her tongue. She puts on strength and honor and rejoices in the last days. The ways of her household are careful, and she eats not the bread of idleness. She opens her mouth wisely and according to the law, and her kindness to them sets up her children for them, and they grow rich, and her husband praises her. Many daughters have obtained wealth. Many have wrought valiantly, but thou hast exceeded, thou hast surpassed all. Charms are false, and women's beauty is vain. For it is a wise woman that is blessed, and let her praise the fear of the Lord. Let her of the fruit of her lips, and let her husband, or give her, excuse me, of the fruit of her lips, and let her husband be praised in the gates. That was the English directly off the Greek of the Septuagint. Sound familiar? Does it sound anything like some of those things in Romans 12? Let's try over in 2 Peter chapter 1, all right. Starting in verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Any of those qualities there in 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1 sound familiar to what Proverbs chapter 31 says? Interesting tie between Proverbs 31, woman of strength, a woman of valor, who stands up predetermined to be a woman of God against whatever pressures come on the outside. What kind of a... Doesn't say she just stays at home, right? She does commerce. She does all kinds of things to benefit her family. But all under the honor of being a woman of God. I will follow God. And that's why Proverbs 31 ends with she's worthy of praise. Give her the praise she deserves. That's really what Romans 13 tells us. Okay? Let no debt remain outstanding except a continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. These commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. How good are we doing at fulfilling the law? Are we really loving each other like we should? Proverbs 31, the picture there of wisdom personified in a wife at a home. She loves her husband. She loves her family. She loves those outside, right? Talks about she reaches out to the poor. She sees those in need and she shares what she has. I would suggest you do three major things just to continue to think about, to ponder and say. You see service anywhere in there? That's a picture I've learned from the four women mothers in my life, all from Rose and from Margaret and from Lottie and from Florence. They serve. Their first question isn't, what's in it for me? What am I going to get? Their outlook is, what can I do to help somebody else? How can I be of service? And they reach out with whatever energy and capability they have to do that. So I guess I would challenge us all to ask, have we asked that question yet? Are we engaged in saying, what is it that I can do? How am I serving? How am I reaching out to the people around me? Am I even trying to see the needs that are there and then discover how God has blessed me with capability to meet those needs and use service to do that? Resourcefulness. God has given us all blessings, right? Anybody here that has not been blessed by God? Okay. Then we all have resources. And yes, they're all the blessings of God that we spoke of even in Bible class. But now it's, okay, God, you gave me all this. How do you want it used? It's not mine, right? It's His. So how do you want it used? And the woman that we see, the wisdom personified again, the woman in the home, man, she looks at what she has. If she needs something else even, she looks for a way to find, to go get it, right? To develop other resources that she may need to be able to carry out what she does. So that's intuition, man. That's imagination, innovation. She's thinking. She's looking for, okay, God gave me these resources, but man, that's just not physically it. There's probably ways I can develop those things and use all these resources in different ways, in different means, to reach people out, to share the things, to make other people's lives less burdensome, to help them see God living in me. How can I use those resources? And lastly, there's a thing called humility, selflessness. How many of us struggle with being humble? How many of us are willing, like the Master, even as he wrestled with his last hours in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, not my will, but yours be done. Are we willing to make that statement? Are we really willing to get out of our own way and to get out of God's way and say, I'm not it? Maybe we need to reread Philippians chapter 2 some days. It says, Jesus was in heaven before he came here, right? He was at God's right hand. And he left all that. Can you even grasp that? Jesus was in heaven. This place that we're hoping to go to. Everything's great. You got everything you need. There's no pain and agony. And he was there. And he left it. He left all that stuff to come here, where he knew there'd be needs, where they knew there'd be pain. What a picture of being humble. What a picture of serving. And he left it. Go to the mirror when you get home. That man left heaven to come here, to be treated so ugly, so evilly, if you will, by us he created. And yet when you see that person in the mirror, he did all that to die for the person you see in the mirror. Because he said, I love you that much. I will die for you so you can come to heaven where I am. That's humility that I hope all of us have had a chance to see in the mothers, even. Trying to imitate the Master. They're selfless. They're not in it for what's up for me. They're in it for what's in it for you, and how can I help you? So I hope today those thoughts may help you see Proverbs 31 in a light that will help you honor those who deserve honor. And those of us men here who have been blessed by mothers and wives of valor and strength, may we give them the honor they deserve as they try to follow God. And may we take the learnings of Proverbs 31 ourselves to say, am I a man of valor? Am I a man of strength who's really helping that woman of valor be God's servant as she needs to be? God is so gracious to us, so loving in his gifts to us, that he offers us the privilege of coming into his family. That's what Jesus' death on the cross was all about. I'm dying so you can believe in me, and then God's power raised him from death to life to say, you no longer need to live in sin. You no longer need to live in death. You can come believing in me and be put into a state of life and live in life following the pathway of love that I showed you, with your ultimate goal being that place that Jesus left in heaven to come live eternally with the Father. If you'd like to have an opportunity for that, then it's God's gift to you. It's God's offering to you, and we just help administer that. But this time of the song here at the end of the lesson will be for you to come forward for that. If you as a follower of God have been wrestling with your walk with him, and you want more prayers and assistance from us, sort of as we talked in Bible class this morning, when somebody's struggling with the walk, part of our opportunity within the church is to mentor, right? Is to help each other out. So if you're struggling and you want some help, if there's responsibilities we need to take to help you with that walk by praying for you or trying to help in some other way, then the time of invitation is for you to share that with us as well, so that we can help each other be more of the people of God we need to be. We ask you to come, express your need as we stand and sing.